Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Sam Rejoy on Child Evangelism Fellowship's ongoing work in the Middle East, despite recent conflict.
It is a tough region, and we hear so many stories of these kind of persecution that is happening. And yet, CEF continues to operate, and CEF workers face these challenges to continue to share the gospel to boys and girls.
Sam Rejoy, next. In the midst of turmoil and uncertainty in the Middle East, Child Evangelism Fellowship workers and volunteers are actively sharing the life-changing message of Christ with thousands of children in various Middle Eastern communities. Spencer Dahlke is with Sam Rejoy, a director with Child Evangelism Fellowship in the Middle East.
Would you mind just kicking us off, telling us a little bit about yourself and how you, I guess, ended up with Child Evangelism Fellowship?
I've been with the ministry for about 29 years, but of that almost 27 years, I was as a volunteer, a worker. I lived in Kuwait, and that's where, along with my profession, you can say as a tent maker, I also served with CEF. I was leading the ministry of Kuwait. And then about 3 years ago, God opened an opportunity for me to serve with CEF full-time, and I was invited. I prayed about it. My wife and I discussed, and we felt this is from the Lord. And so I left my career and moved to serving with Child Evangelism Fellowship full-time. And as you mentioned, I'm now leading the ministry in the Gulf, which is part of the Middle East, the Arabian Gulf, but also involved with the CEF headquarters in a lot of projects to bring the gospel to children all over the world. So while I am specifically handling the Middle East, I do work on some projects which impact gospel or CEF's ministry across the world. In the Middle East, and specifically in this region, God has blessed us despite the opposition that we face because of whatever the region is. God has blessed us to reach the hearts of millions of children with the gospel, especially during the Christmas time. We have a program called Christmas Party Club, where during Christmas, while the world celebrates with gift giving and retail, explosion of sales and merrymaking, we want the children to understand the true meaning of Christmas and why Christ came into this world. And so we invite children from various religions. They come together. They love a party. And so they come together. We share the gospel using various tools. It is our desire and prayer that many of them can come together and hear the gospel. And so last year, globally, God helped us to reach 12.8 million children, of which in the Middle East alone, nearly 6 million children heard the gospel. And so our desire is now we can keep working with these children, invite many of them to our ongoing ministry, which is Good News Clubs. I guess you've heard of it. This is CEF's main ministry, which is on a weekly basis. We bring children, teach them God's word, and hope to achieve our threefold goal of evangelize, disciple, and establish in a local church. And so these children who have come for the Good News Club, it's like a promotion Christmas Party Club. It's like a promotion through which we can have constant contact with them and disciple them for spiritual growth.
I've heard a lot of persecution of Christians in the Middle East. I don't know which exactly specific which regions you operate in, but is that true? And how do you navigate that?
That is very much true. This part of the region, there is a lot of persecution, and it varies in extremism to being mild. In an extreme case, it could be that Christians are ostracized, they're not able to practice their faith openly, they are forced to recant their faith. churches are being desecrated, church congregations and worship is disrupted. Sometimes there's pressure from the family members to the one who has known the truth, and it could even end up in violence, and maybe they come together. Sometimes they're locked up till they regain the faith, or there's violence against them. Bibles are burned or torn. This is happening across. There's so much persecution. In one of the countries we operate in, there are Christians there, but churches have been officially closed for more than 5 years. Any gathering together in the name of Christ, or even just having Bible with you, could lead to imprisonment and fines and legal action taken. In India, where I come from, many of the states have now enacted a law at the state level of what is known as an anti-conversion laws. With this, if more than multiple people have come to know the Lord through an individual, then that individual can be tried and fined and put into prison. So it is a tough region, and we hear so many stories of these kind of persecution that is happening. And yet, CEF continues to operate, and CEF workers face these challenges to continue to share the gospel to boys and girls.
I would imagine it would be very easy to get very cynical working in a region like that. What encourages you to continue serving in the role?
Okay, that's a good question you ask about what encourages. And you know, it really is about the main driving force is really that of the 2 billion children globally that are under the age of 15, which is our target audience, more than 700 million out of the 2 billion live in the Middle East. And they do not have an opportunity to hear the gospel if we don't share the gospel to them. In one of the countries where war was happening, and there was terrible war, and one of our workers was at risk. So our regional director of the Middle East called him up and asked him, do you want us to evacuate you? Your life is at risk. We can do that. And you know what, Spencer? He came back saying, if I go, who will share the gospel? How will these children hear the gospel? And at personal risk, he continued to share the gospel, and God protected him. But immediate family members did get killed during this war, but he continues to go with a passion. These stories are what motivates us to keep going. You know, once a sister who had to flee from her native country, and she was en route to a refugee country, and she stayed with me for a few days, and we were talking about her country, and she was saying the price of being a disciple of Christ is so high that she was saying that, Brother Sam, nobody in my country would claim to be a Christian unless they genuinely changed, because they lose everything. They lose their social status. They lose their job opportunities. The family is against them. They have nothing. And yet, the love of Christ is what motivates them in that country, with all that risk, would continue to share the gospel. And she had to flee from everything. It was sad, but there was joy at the same time that I am bearing this for Christ. In fact, she tells that she was imprisoned in another country for 3 days for the gospel. And she said, I felt it was like I was sharing in the sufferings of Christ, because Christ was in the tomb for 3 days. I was in prison for 3 days. So these stories really help us and motivate us to continue to share the gospel. Children have sometimes said that we didn't know that Jesus is the savior of the world. The gospel was being shared in a Kurdish group of children, and a little girl from this Kurdish camp, she came and said that this is the first time I hear there is a book called the Holy Bible, and I don't know anything about Jesus, but I received him in my heart today. And she said, you know, teacher, you're very different. You come here, please do come here all the time and teach us. So that cry of the child is what really motivates us to continue to share the gospel. A couple of our workers went there, and they were hoping to have a Christmas party club. That, as I mentioned, is a promotional ministry that we do. And they thought that they'll set it up. Maybe a few children would come. 125 children turned up. And so God works in their hearts, and they came, and they were really encouraged. And now they were planning to have that as an ongoing Good News Club ministry in this area where there was no ministry before.
I did want to ask, I mean, I'm sure that gets really encouraging, seeing even some of the kids in the Middle East turning to Christ, because kids are the ones that tend to be the more afraid, because they don't, I would imagine they're not as rooted maybe in Christ as some of the adults can be. Do you see that they can be kind of afraid sometimes? And yeah, well, how do you handle that?
You know, when there are these kind of incidents that happen, even currently as missiles fly, or when there is, natural calamities, CF understands that, as you said, children are afraid and they don't know what's going on. And in their minds, the question would be, why did this happen? What's going on? And so CF has brought out a book called Do You Wonder Why? This is a small tract which is translated into many languages, multiple languages, and millions of these booklets have been sent all over the world. And so in a very child-friendly way, this book answers some of these questions of why do so many bad things happen in the world, or why did God allow this to happen, or how can I get through this terrible time? And through this book and these questions, children are led to understand the fact that all of this is a result of sin. Then we teach about sin and the punishment of sin and how man on his own cannot save himself. And so we see all of these problems in this world, and that we bring the solution to the child, that the only solution for eternally being away from this punishment is to believe in Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. And so the gospel is preached through these booklets. And our workers send these to, we send it to our workers, and they take it and carry it to all these kind of difficult areas so that they can give it to children, so children can hear the gospel. So in refugee camps where many of these displaced children are, using these books and other materials, we share the gospel. And there was this incident of a young child, Adi, who is a 10-year-old, and he's witnessed his whole family being killed in front of him by terrorists. His grandparents saved him and took him home. Our workers found him at this refugee camp, and so they conducted a club there. I understand there are about 33 such clubs, and about 2,500 children are being discipled and counseled in these clubs. And so this boy, Hadi, was met by our workers. They started dealing with him and counseling him, dealing with his psychological PTSD of having seen his family killed as a little boy. And now he's regularly attending the club, and we hope that eventually that he can be attached to a church nearby. In one of the other such refugee camps, even the mothers who are not Christians, who are from another faith, they come and volunteer and serve because they see the impact that this kind of club is having, the positive impact, the transformation that's being brought to their children. And so even though they're not of that faith, they bring their children to our sister who leads it. And one of the mothers even said, there are five families which are far away from here. Would you be able to go and have this club in that place? Even parents who are not from the same faith are seeing the impact of this ministry on life. So God is working in amazing ways.
And my guest today is Sam Rejoy. He's director for Child Evangelism Fellowship, the Middle East region, discussing your work, especially in light of the Iran conflict, advancing, teaching the gospel to kids. The refugee camps you mentioned, are those for families who are being terrorized by like the radical Islamic groups? Or is that, I know we are currently kind of at war with Iran. Is it because of the war?
Could be in our region, while this is a global war and it's globally projected. In our region, displacement war is very common. We've had Syria, which has gone through a lot of turmoil in the last few years. Iraq has gone through a lot. So there are millions of families that are displaced who have crossed borders and gone seeking refugee status in Jordan, in Syria, in neighboring countries where there is more of a safety. And the same thing happens even in Africa, when the African nations, there are a lot of these cross-border refugee camps. North Sudan and South Sudan is another example of, you know, the civil unrest. Spencer, the issue is that children get the most affected. You know, like we were saying, they don't really understand. This current war is another reason. I wouldn't say there is as much a displacement as yet. Maybe there are more people gathering in bunkers. Our CF workers in Israel are saying of how they need to go to bunkers or into basements to avoid the missiles that are flying out. But in our region overall, there's been a lot of uprooting of families displaced from one place to another. So our workers do go and minister to them. Maybe cultures are different, sometimes languages are different, but they take the effort to go and reach these children. Sometimes don't even have schooling opportunities. And so sometimes these are the ways that we can also provide them with some sort of way in which parents can send their children to a club where children can learn something. So yeah, God is working in amazing ways despite the uncertainty and that lack of peace that is there in the families, in these children. They have no spiritual or even psychological counseling available. And many times our workers are the ones who are able to provide some of it.
You mentioned, I think, I'm not recalling exactly correctly, but something around like 30 clubs in the Middle East region. I don't know if this is maybe an indiscreet question, but
that's just 33 clubs in one country, in just in the refugee camps alone. We have thousands of clubs that are held all around the Middle East. And that is primarily the way in which we are able to share the gospel. And in many of these clubs, it is really our workers and volunteers who have a burden. They go out and do this ministry. And through this, they hope to reach boys and girls with the gospel. And like I mentioned earlier, it is from the Lord, because there is no way otherwise somebody would risk their life, their family's life, so that they can go to a dangerous area to share the gospel. And so we hear testimonies like there was this worker who met a person at a training, and he felt that God was calling him to serve among children. And so he said, "Train me so that I can go and share among children." And she trained him on a Christmas party club lesson, and he took this and the materials that we provide. Now, as CEF, we produce our own materials, we print it, we develop it, we produce it, and we freely give it to those who take our training, because our objective is that children can hear the gospel. And so he took this Christmas lesson, and he went and he started conducting these clubs. It was very, he himself says that it was impacting him deeply, the message, and so he wanted the children to be impacted. And he praised God for the materials he got, and he went, and now he wants to be part of CEF. So we have thousands of volunteers who support our workers so that together they can share the gospel in the field. Another teacher said that they went to a village to do a one-day camp. And going there and just taking that one-day camp, they could see how children received the gospel and how their lives were touched. And this impacted them, saying that, oh, we can do this on a regular basis. So God is continuing to work in their lives to change them. And the gospel is sometimes is in your own neighborhood. This teacher, Savita, she was sharing the gospel and running clubs in so many different places. But she would always see in her building community, you know, children that were playing. And it was in her heart saying, oh, I wish I could share the gospel with these children. One day she got an opportunity. She called them and said, would you like to hear a story? And the children said, yes. And she shared the gospel through the wordless book. And these children received Jesus Christ into their heart.
I was considering how the conflict in Iran maybe has affected your ability to operate, but it sounds maybe like it hasn't too much. Do you say that's true? Has it?
Yeah, in the countries that are immediately impacted, the ministry has had an impact, because even schools since that day, now almost for 3 weeks, schools are out. Everything has gone online. Children are not going physically to school, so schools have been closed. Gatherings are not allowed. From that extent, yes, it has been impacted. But I spoke to some of our leaders, and what I was told in Lebanon, for example, where again there's been a lot of bombarding, she was telling me that, yeah, missiles are flying around. We are asked to stay indoors, but all our clubs have gone online. And so we continue to teach, but using Zoom. And meanwhile, they're also using the opportunity to do teachers training and other training for adults and volunteers, so preparing for when this would be over. Our brother in Nazareth, when I was messaging him, he said, I'm mostly in the basement. We hear the sirens. We have to go to the basement. But in the basement, I'm busy preparing for my Children's Ministry Institute training that is going to start from next week. Now, the CF's main training that we do for workers is a 3-month training program called Children's Ministry Institute. He was in his basement preparing for the training, which is going to take place a week later. And that would have been online too. Again, the rules are the same. Schools are out. Everything is online. We were supposed to have March as a time when we have a Dean's Camp here, but the organizers have put that on hold because of the physical gathering. But again, there are trainings that are happening. So there's going to be a Gulf-wide online training that we are doing. About 24 volunteers have signed up for this training, which will start in 2 days' time. Ministry can continue even if we are not able to meet in person.
War kind of offends our Western sensibilities. Like in the United States, we would see all this destruction and we think, how could there be a good God who like allows this? I'm kind of curious if you could tell us how people in the Middle East think about that and how that conflict affects their understanding of the gospel. It sounds like maybe there might be differences there.
At the outset, I want to say that at CEF, we are deeply saddened by the current happenings out in the Middle East. But at the same time, we have a commitment for the ministry. So we continue to serve in that ministry. As Christians, again, the Lord's word on Matthew 24:6 is what is a good reminder for us. You will hear of war and rumors of wars. See to it that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. So we don't know when the end is. So as Christians, we believe that this is all in God's sovereign purpose and His will be revealed. As the nations, as they go through it, there's a lot of uncertainty. Who's right and who's wrong? And, you know, from a national sentiment, each nation would have their own sentiment into it. And again, the news is presented in a way that your nation is presented in the positive sense. So there isn't a unified look at it. But I think one unified feeling is a desire for peace. And I think that's there across both sides and all nations. And that is what, as Christians in these nations, we pray for, that God's sovereign will be done. And if it is His will and plan, then that peace would reign here so that we can continue to serve. At the same time, the desire that, especially for a country like Iran, that a regime change would bring an openness to the gospel so that the persecuted church within the country would have an opportunity to work more and win more souls. So it is a mixed bag, but we overall just trust God's will in this.
What does the future, I guess, look like for CEF in the Middle East? And to that point, how can our listeners be praying for you guys?
CEF is looking ahead very positively. Last year, and just before I get to the Middle East, globally, we reached about 31 million children with the gospel, boys and girls between the age of around 3 to 15 with our various programs. And about 34 children were impacted. The difference being the 31 million children were directly reached with the gospel through various clubs. And the difference is through our digital ministry and literature distribution. God willing, for 2026, we are praying to the Lord to reach 40 million children with the gospel. And so as CEF, we are working towards the global vision of reaching annually 100 million children by the year 2032. And so that's a plan that we are working towards. And of course, as I mentioned, in that, Middle East plays a crucial role because of the sheer number of children that are in this region. More than 30% of the children population are in this region. So we are prayerfully, despite challenges, despite whatever else is happening, war and opposition, persecution, prayerfully, we and our leaders in the Middle East are working towards a tremendous growth of the ministry here. And to that extent, we are providing the necessary training and resources, including literature, so that boys and girls can hear the gospel. Matthew 18:14 is our driving verse, is the vision we have, that it is not the will of the Father that even one of these little ones should perish. And so we are driven by that key verse to keep sharing the gospel despite whatever persecution that is there. Yes, thank you for asking, Spencer, that you can pray. Definitely, your listeners, that is one of our key requirements, especially in the Middle East. Pray for safety, pray for protection, pray for churches to have a vision for the gospel while they focus on the adults. CF comes alongside the church to support them in reaching the hearts of boys and girls. And we have seen so many times that when the child is reached, through the child, the family is reached, and through the family, the community is impacted. So pray that church leaders would come alongside CF, because we as an organization cannot do it on our own. We need those partnerships. We work alongside churches. We are not independent of churches. We are not in church planting. We are there to support the children's ministry of those who are called to work among the children. While it is a hard time, our workers in the region need a lot of encouragement, a lot of mental fortitude, their own safety, their family safety. And especially pray for Iran, as I mentioned earlier. Our sister who leads the ministry there says that pray that Iran will be free. She's a refugee now in another country, and that I can go back and start the new chapter of CEF of Iran. And that's really what her desire is. And she has prayer for the churches, the underground churches there, for a spiritual awakening, for the church leaders, the shepherds, to be wise and courageous and to be faithful to the Lord. So I think this is a prayer not only for Iran, it's a prayer for India, it's a prayer for Pakistan, it's a prayer for Afghanistan, it's a prayer for all of these countries here, that God would strengthen the church and give it that vision to continue to serve Him.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Child Evangelism Fellowship Director Sam Rejoy. For more information, go to cefonline.com. On tomorrow's program, it's Justin Lonis on ministering to poverty that we can't see.
So when it comes to material poverty, the church is kind of like an outpost of the New Jerusalem. Like, we're supposed to live in that Christ-restored reality imperfectly. We understand that already, not yet tension, but that as we seek to care for those around us, we have a different story than the world does. And part of that starts with wrestling with our overly materialistic definition of poverty, but also not forgetting that in this life, we have bodies, we're created to live in a material world, and material poverty matters for our flourishing, and dealing with it matters for people's flourishing.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.